وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Welcome to another episode of our series Fundamentals of Faith. In the previous episodes, we discussed the various categories of Tawheed. Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, unity of Allah's Lordship, unity of Allah's names and attributes, and unity in the right of Allah to be worshipped alone. In today's lesson, inshallah, we're going to discuss the first of these three categories, Tawheed of Allah's Lordship. So we hope you stay with us, and we'll see you back soon, inshallah. Welcome back. We had discussed previously the three categories of Tawheed, and we had mentioned the evidences and the blessings of the concept of Tawheed. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah, the Rabb of the world. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. That Allah is the ever merciful and the most beneficent, and He is the master of the Day of Judgment. And this is the Tawheed of Allah's Rabb, Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, and it is also the Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help. And this is the Tawheed in Allah's right to be worshipped. So we find then that in these first verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us the categories of Tawheed. He starts off with Tawheed of Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then he moves on to the Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm al-Din. These are the Tawheed in Allah's names and attributes. Then he moves on to Tawheed in Allah's right to be worshipped. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone are the one whose help we seek. So these three categories, like we mentioned previously, are clearly found in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Today, inshallah, we're going to start discussing these categories in detail. And we're going to start off with Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The first thing we need to do is obviously define the meaning of Rabb. So if you can give me volume 6 of Lisan al-Arab. Lisan al-Arab is a book written by Muhammad ibn Mukrim. He was a great scholar from Africa, and he was of the descendants of the Ansar. And this great scholar of the Arabic language had written over 500 volumes regarding the Arabic language, its eloquence, its rhetoric, its grammar. And this book of his, Lisan al-Arab, is considered to be the greatest reference of Arabic language in terms of linguistical definitions of words. Every single word used, you can find it in this book. And you can see how large and vast it is. So we're going to go to this classical reference, because the author died in the year 711 of the Hijri. We're going to go to the classical reference and look up the word Rabb and read directly from this dictionary. He says that, I'm going to translate for you, that Rabb is used to refer to the owner and a king. It is also used to refer to one who is obeyed. And it is also used to refer to one who nourishes and sustains, one who makes something grow, nourishes it. So he provides these three definitions of the word Rabb: the true and complete owner of an object, and this implies creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us, and obviously He owns us and He controls us. It also implies the one who is obeyed. The Rabb is also the one who is obeyed, and it also implies the one who nourishes and who takes care of everything. And we find these meanings obviously apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who nourishes us, who sustains us, who gives us everything that we need. So, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah then, we've defined Rububiyyah. So, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah then implies that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator, the only nourisher and sustainer, and the only one who has the full, absolute, unconditional right to be obeyed. This is what Tawheed al-Rububiyyah means. We affirm these attributes and characteristics that Allah is the Rabb. He is the creator, the owner, the king, the Malik, the king. He is the Razzaq, the one who provides all of this comes under Tawheed of Rububiyyah. In other words, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills occurs, and whatever He doesn't will does not occur. His will is executed, and no one can change His will. If you want to rephrase Tawheed Rububiyyah, you can also say that it is Tawheed in the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, whatever Allah does, it happens. And no one can do what Allah does. The creator, the sustainer, the nourisher, everything depends on the will of Allah. He is the Rabb. This is what it means, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Obviously, from this definition, it's very clear that the entire creation, every single object, is under the complete Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the complete Lordship. As Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, verse 83, وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Him, all that is in the heavens and earth have subjugated, have submitted themselves. طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. Whether they like it or they don't. Whether they like it or not, they have submitted themselves to Allah. Because they are under the power, the Rububiyyah, the Lordship of Allah. Their sustenance, whether they believe in Him or not, comes from Allah. The very fact that they exist, Allah is their creator. Whether they verbally affirm it or not, who created the non-Muslims? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, every single object in the heavens and the earth has submitted himself to Him in this type of Rububiyyah. Likewise, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 116, بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. All are subjugated. All are under His will. Everything, no exceptions, because He is the Rabb. Yet another proof for this is the story of Musa and Fir'aun in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verses 17 onwards. And it's a very beautiful story, but I have to summarize it for you. As you know, when Musa went to Fir'aun, Fir'aun was one of the few people who denied that there was a Rabb. He denied. He said, I don't believe in a Rabb. Okay? And he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ وَالْأَعْلَى. I am your Rabb. That's what he used to say. So Musa came to him, and he said that, my Rabb has sent me. My Rabb has sent me to you. So Fir'aun responds back, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And what is this Rabb of the Alameen? I've never heard of a Rabb of the Alameen. Because Fir'aun's denying the Rabb. So Musa responds back, that this Rabb is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, if only you believe. So Fir'aun responds back that to those who are around him, do you not hear what Musa is saying? He's making fun of him. Look at this guy. Do you not hear what he's saying? أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. So Musa comes back and he says, he is your Rabb. Whether you like it or not, he is your Rabb and the Rabb of your forefathers, the previous Fir'auns, the previous Pharaohs. قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ آبَائِكُمْ وَالْأَوَّلِينَ. So Fir'aun responds back and he says, indeed, the messenger that has been sent to you is Majnoon, he's crazy. Because this is the way of the tyrants. They ridicule, they make fun of, they assassinate the characters of the ones who are trying to guide them. He cannot respond to the substance of what Musa is saying, so he responds to the character of Musa. He cannot respond. How can he deny that he has a Rabb? So he doesn't respond to Musa's comments, rather he responds to the personality of Musa. He's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So Musa comes back and he says, قَالَ رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. This is the Rabb of the East and the West and all that is between them. If you only had some sense. If you only think. If you have some sense. So Fir'aun then says, if you ever take a god besides me, I am going to imprison you. Again, this is the way of the tyrants. They cannot win by arguments, so they win by force. If you take a god besides me, I'm going to imprison you, kill you, put you in jail. And the story goes on and on. Of this story also is the magicians. Remember the magicians? When Fir'aun or Pharaoh called the magicians asked for some money or they asked for some status. So Fir'aun said, you will, if you win Musa, I'll give you what you want. As soon as Musa threw his staff and it became a snake and it ate up their magic, immediately they fell down in sajda to Allah. Because they realize that Musa is sent by the Rabb. So Fir'aun says, how could you have believed in him? They say, we believe in him and the Rabb that has sent him. Fir'aun says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to crucify you. I'm going to cut off your hands from the right and the left. They said, La dhair, we don't care. Because we're going to return to the Rabb of the Alameen. Look at their iman. One second they're asking money. We want some money to do this magic. Give us some position and status. As soon as they see the signs of the Rabb, and iman comes into their hearts, they say, you can torture us to death. Allah is our Rabb. And we're going to go back to Him. So these are of the signs of the Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of the manifestations of this Rububiyyah, of the manifestations of the fact that every single creature, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, comes under the complete rububiyyah, lordship of Allah, is the fact that, for example, every single object of creation knows that it cannot survive by itself. Rather, it needs the help of Allah or the Creator. Tell someone who denies that there's a God, okay, fine, create the own air that you breathe with. Create your own food. Why are you eating the food of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He created? Why are you walking on His earth? You didn't create this earth. Who gave you the life that you have? Every single object must realize that it cannot survive by its own efforts. Also of the manifestations of the complete rububiyyah is that no object can escape what has been decreed for it or control its own destiny. Ask someone, what is going to happen to you tomorrow? He will say, I don't know. Depends on so many factors. He doesn't know. He doesn't control his destiny. Which shows you that there is someone who does control his destiny. Yet another manifestation of the fact that Allah is the true Rabb or Lord of the entire creation is that at times of distress, when a problem happens, then every single object of creation cries out to a God, cries out to a Lord. Oh God, help me. Oh God, save me. Even if that person claims to be an atheist, one who denies God. When he is in a situation of life and death, or his child is about to die, is sick in the hospital, or something happens, immediately he cries out to something above him. Oh God, I need your help. It's an innate feeling in you. And this shows you that the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a complete, is an all-inclusive, comprehensive lordship. However, we do know that certain people deny Allah as a Rabb. So how do we reconcile this with the fact that Allah is the Rabb of everything? We'll talk about this after the short break. So we'll take a short break now and we'll continue our discussion in a little while. Welcome back. We were discussing the rububiyyah or the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we said that Allah is the Rabb of everything. Yet we also know that there are certain people, segments of society, that deny this fact. So how do we reconcile this from what we said before? It's very easy. There are two types of rububiyyah or lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a general rububiyyah. And this general rububiyyah encompasses every object of creation, of existence. Not a single atom exists except that it is under the rububiyyah of Allah. Because Allah is the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher, everything. So this is a general rububiyyah. Allah says in the first verse in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi, does he say Rabbul Muslimin? No, Rabbul Alameen. All of the existence, Allah is the Rabb. The entire existence. Likewise in Surah Baqarah, verse 21, Allah says, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O mankind, all of mankind, اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship your Rabb. Mankind, the Muslims and the non-Muslims, Allah is your Rabb. He is the one who has made an earth a wide place for you. And He has made the skies like a ceiling and a roof for you. And He has sent down rain from the skies. And He has sprouted forth fruits from which you eat. So Allah is the Rabb of all of mankind. This is a specific rububiyyah. In this type of rububiyyah, this means that the entire creation, like we said, comes under the will of Allah. Allah is the Rabb of them because Allah created them. Allah sustains and nourishes them. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of their needs. He is the Rabb. There is also a specific or a special rububiyyah. And this is specific to those who believe in Him. This type of rububiyyah is special to the Muslims because they have acknowledged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Rabb. And if you notice in the Quran, for example, almost all of the du'as that we are required or asked to make in the Quran start with the word Rabb. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتَّةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So many verses, Rabb, Rabb, Rabb. This is the specific rubiyah. Oh Allah, we have acknowledged you as our Rabb. Therefore we pray to Allah with this name. Oh my Lord, the one who created me, the one who sustains and nourishes me, the one who, everything I need, I take it from you. You are my Rabb. This is the specific rububiyyah. In another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 22, He says, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Give the example of the one whose heart has been opened to accept Islam. And because of this, he has a light from his Rabb. His Rabb, the specific meaning of Rabb. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of all of mankind, the Muslim and the non-Muslim, in the sense that He has created them, He nourishes and sustains them, He provides for all of their needs. And He is also, in a more special way, a more emphatic way, He is the Rabb of the Muslims who believe in Him, because not only has He created them physically, but He has given them spiritual life as well, by guiding them to Islam. The special rububiyyah, the special lordship of Allah, that He has not only nourished them with food and water, He has nourished them with the life of the soul, which is iman, which is faith. So this is the special rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is more important. The nourishment of the soul is more important than the nourishment of the body. Because if the soul is dead, if a person's soul is dead, if it doesn't have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the hereafter, he will be subjected to Allah's displeasure. But if the soul is alive, then even when the body dies, the soul will taste the sweetness of that life in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have talked today about the Rabb, or the Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the general Rabb of all of mankind. But He is also the special Rabb. There is a special concept of lordship, of Rububiyyah, which is applicable to the Muslims. So we conclude by stating that one of the fundamental aspects of Tawheed is the acknowledgement that Allah is our Creator, our Sustainer, our Nourisher, that He and only He has the sole unconditional right to be obeyed, and that no object can be in existence or do anything without His will and His complete support. If there are any questions that the brothers have regarding this topic, we'll take them now. Yes?
Linguistically, you mentioned from Tawheed al-Rububiyyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner and is the one who is obeyed and also the one who nourishes.
Okay, these three things, yes?
What evidence do we find in the Qur'an and Sunnah with regards to these three meanings?
Okay, that's a very good question, because we took these evidences from a classical dictionary, and without a doubt it is a classical dictionary, but it is always better to go back to the Qur'an and Sunnah, because this is the actual inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very good question. Well, each of these three definitions, linguistic definitions, can be found in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. For example, of the proofs and evidences that the word Rabb applies to the owner, is the hadith that is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, in which someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that, O Messenger of Allah, if I find a sheep in the desert by itself, can I take this sheep? So the Prophet ﷺ said, well, if you find it all by itself, either you'll take it, or another person will take it, or the sheep will eat it. You might as well take it. If it's nobody, no one owns it, and you find it, take it. Then the man asked, what if I find a camel? Now, what's the difference between a sheep and a camel in the sense of being lost in the desert? Is that the camel doesn't need you to take care of it. It has its water stored in its back, and it has its own food. But the sheep, if you don't take care of it, it will die. If you don't take it to the pasture, it will die. So because of this, the Prophet ﷺ forbade him, don't take camels. And he said, leave it until its Rabb finds the camel. Its Rabb, the Rabb of the camel, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, he's talking about the owner of the camel. So the word Rabb then, in this hadith, is used to apply to the owner of an object. And it is allowed to say, the Rabb of the house, the owner of the house, the Rabb of the car, the owner of the car. It is allowed to say this linguistically. So this applies ownership. Of the proofs that Rabb implies obedience as well, is the verses in Surah Yusuf, in which the person, remember in Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam, he is put into prison with two people, and these two criminals, they see a dream. And the story goes on and on, but of the what he saw in the dream was that he is going to pour wine to his master. He's going to pour wine to his master. So when Yusuf alayhi salam is interpreting the dream, He says, فَيَسْقِ رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. He will feed his Rabb wine. What does it mean, Rabb here? Over here, the Rabb, it means he will feed his owner, the king. Not the owner, the king, the one who is going to be obeyed. So in this context, Rabb implies the one who has the full right of obedience. And the word is used here for obedience, the one who has the right to be obeyed. The third aspect we mentioned is the one who nourishes and sustains, right? This too is used in the Quran from this meaning. And this in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those whom were allowed to marry and those whom were not allowed to marry. And of those whom were not allowed to marry are the daughters of our wives from another marriage. We marry a woman, okay, and she becomes our wife. If she has daughters from another marriage, then those daughters become prohibited upon us. The word that Allah uses to describe these daughters, Allah says, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُمْ. The rabaib, if you want to translate it, those whom you take care of in your houses. Because when you marry a woman, you take care of her children as well, her previous children. So Allah uses the same root in a different form, the rab root, to describe the nourishment that you're going to give to these children of the woman. And he says you're not allowed to marry the female children of this woman from another marriage. And he uses the word rab to describe the nourishment and the sustainment that the man is required to do upon these children. So from these three ayat and ahadith we quoted, we find that the same meanings are found in the Quran and Sunnah. That the rab is the owner slash creator. That the rab is the one who has the full right of obedience. And that the rab is the one who nourishes and sustains the creation as well. With this we come to the conclusion of our talk today. Inshallah, we hope to see you next time. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, no.